Thank you, worship team. Great job, everybody, with our time of worship and song. I appreciate it, and for the messages that are actually being shared with our music, whether you're singing it or whether somebody else is singing it. As I said, the point of the service is to point us to what it means that Jesus Christ was born on Christmas. And at this portion of the service, I'm going to do my best to point us to that. I'm not going to sound as good as everybody else. I'm not going to sing it for you. You can be thankful for that. And as I see our time flying by here, I don't want to take too long, which I'm sure many of you are happy about. But I want to do my part in helping us remember and think through what it means that Jesus has come. I've been trying to do that throughout Advent, by focusing on the words that we focus on at Advent. You can see them if you haven't been in our sanctuary. You can see them on these white signs all around me. And each Sunday during Advent, we talked about that word and what that word meant and what it means that Jesus has brought that into our world. And that these words are not just Christian lingo that we use at Christmas or throughout the year, but they're theological truths that help us to live our lives in sometimes a very difficult world. And as you heard me say earlier when I shared a word of prayer for many Grace Church family members that have lost someone, I've been a part of that in some way, having to do a few funerals for that, and just been thinking about these words and how I can help people find comfort and peace and hope, joy, and love in the midst of these trying things that they have in life. And God has done that for us finally, completely, in the person of Jesus Christ. And so I want to just read a scripture for you out of Hebrews that is talking about God's final word. This is God's final word. So the question for us that I'm going to ask at the end is, are we listening? Do we hear God speaking to us in the midst of our world and what's going on in our lives? Sometimes it's hard to hear God speaking. Sometimes it's hard to understand it. And as we all wear masks, sometimes it's hard to understand people just face to face because of the masks. You may have had that situation where you're going to check out somewhere and you have no clue what the person is telling you. And you're just like shaking your head yes. And you don't know what you said yes to, but then you just leave. And it's sometimes hard to hear. There's a game when I was thinking about this difficulty of listening and hearing and making sense of what we're seeing and hearing. There's a game that my family has played. Maybe you've heard of it. I don't know. It's called Mad Gab. Has anybody ever played this game? A few of you have played this game. So we're going to play it right now, okay? So this is the fun part of the service. We're going to play this game right now. So the point of Mad Gab, if you look at these cards, if your eyes are good enough and you can read those cards, they're words, they're real words, but they don't make sense together. So there's, let's see, 4 in that one, 3 in that one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in that one. They're all words that you would know to hear it and make sense in a sentence, but when you jumble them all together, it's pretty hard to understand what you're saying. And so the point of the game is for somebody to say these words and then your team to guess what you're saying. Because what I'm going to say is a real phrase or sentence, or it actually means something, even though it doesn't look like it on the card. That's kind of the point of the game. So it's nonsense. It's words that are just jumbled together. I say the words. We're not going to time ourselves. Usually there's a timer. And you have to see if you can understand what I'm saying. Okay? Here we go. We're going to try this. Now, part of the point of the game is nobody studies these words before they say them. So I'm trying to get these words out, so that's part of trying to figure out what in the world am I saying. So here's the first one. Eighth her mom utter. Eighth her mom utter. Eighth her mom utter? A thermometer. Very good. See the point of the game? You can play this at Christmas if you want to. Here we go. Heine dairy seat. Heine dairy seat? Heine dairy seat. Heine dairy seat. Heine, I need a receipt. Thank you. Jess and I are usually on the same team. We've found the more Dutchified you can sound playing the game, actually the better it is, because my brother-in-law is good at this. Okay, here's the last one. This one's a bit longer. Set bacon hinge ahoy it. Set bacon hinge ahoy it. What did you say? Sit back and enjoy it. Thank you. Yes, did you get that? Sit back and enjoy it. Set bacon hinge ahoy it. I mean, how did you not hear that when I said it? I mean, come on. So there you have a game that you can play tomorrow or with your maybe New Year's Eve or something. It's called Mad Gab. It's fun. And it's just messed up words put together, and you got to just try and sound it out, and it's a lot of fun. But it's kind of hard to understand it. Now, if you've played with somebody a lot, it's a lot easier to understand it. Because they know you, and they can kind of hear what you're saying and how fast you're talking and that kind of stuff. If you're playing with somebody you don't know, it's a little bit harder. But the point of the game is hearing something real in the midst of something that doesn't make sense. And so that's my reflection for you tonight. Are you hearing what God is saying in a world that doesn't seem to make sense? Because God has spoken, he has finally spoken through his son, and Christmas morning is when that happens. So let me read for you out of Hebrews. This is Hebrews chapter 1. The author of Hebrews, this letter that he's writing, is to probably Jewish Christians. And throughout the letter, he is comparing and contrasting Jesus to key historical people and key historical moments in Israel's history, and showing them how much greater Jesus is than that key historical figure or person. And he's trying to do that throughout the letter of Hebrews, trying to help Christians understand this. He is showing them this, that Jesus is greater than all these things throughout their history, so that they understand in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of persecution, which is probably what they were experiencing, they're encouraged to continue to follow Christ. And in the letter of Hebrews, there's actually a warning to them about following Christ. But he begins that whole conversation in chapter 1 with these words. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. So you got to put yourself as a first-time hearer of this letter. You, as a Jew, heard a lot about your past, this wonderful, great, rich history of God working through you and as a people. And it says, the author says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets. He did this at many times, and he did it in many various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. So he'll go on, if you read past chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, he'll go on to talk about the angels. And if you remember, the angels are a big part of the Christmas story. The angels were messengers that God used. And God had used these angels as messengers. And it was believed in Jewish tradition that an angel brought the stone tablets to Moses. The law, the thing that they upheld as the highest direction and what the best thing they could do of following the laws of Moses. And here the author is saying that Jesus, the Son of God, is superior to any angels. His name is greater than all theirs. And what we see in the Christmas story is all these angels worshiping the one who would come and calling all of creation and everybody they seem to meet to worship the one who's going to come as well. And why does he do that? Why does the author tell us that Jesus is greater than all of these angels. Why do the angels call us to worship? Well, the reason they do that is the whole point of Christmas. What is Christmas all about? I hope the answer to that question is not confusing to you. If you're here tonight, you heard what Christmas is all about through your own singing, through the scriptures I read, through the people up here singing to you. We know what Christmas is all about. This is God's final word to all of creation. Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God's love and mercy. Remember, the author of Hebrews began with, God spoke to us through the prophets, through our ancestors, in many ways. But now he is speaking to us in these last days through his Son. It's not about whether this one was better or worse. Was it better for God to speak through the prophets and their ancestors, or better for God to speak through Jesus? Was the old covenant better than the new covenant? Did God mess up there and say, well, I got to scrap that. We'll try this this way this time. That's not what God's revelation is all about. That's not what the author of Hebrews is talking about. The way God's revelation works is from promise to fulfillment. God promised their ancestors that this would happen. God promised many things to the Jews. God promised many things to creation. Go back to Genesis chapter 12 and hear what God said to Abraham and what he planned to do through Abraham in blessing all of creation. God's revelation is about promise and fulfillment. And his ultimate revelation came through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God's love and mercy. And is God's final word to all of creation that he will accomplish that which he promised. This is God's final word because sometimes it's difficult to hear or understand what exactly is going on in life and in this world. And so there's no doubt about what God's final word is. Christmas morning breaks into our lives and says, this, he, Jesus, is my final word. Christmas is worthy of our celebration because God, in these last days, has spoken through his Son. I'm just going to list for you very quickly what the author of Hebrews says about Jesus. Why all of the angels, all of creation, all of humanity ought to worship God's Son. He is the heir of all things. He made the universe, space and time, matter. In the beginning was God. That's Genesis 1:1. And John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He made the universe. He is the heir to all things. All of creation belongs to him. He is the reflection of God's glory. It's as though God is the sun and Jesus is the rays, and God shines his glory down on us, and we experience that as we experience the warmth of the sun. The sun isn't on top of us. The sun is giving us those rays of warmth and light. Well, that's exactly what God did through Jesus. God is to be glorified in Jesus, or those rays reflecting God's glory to everyone on this earth. Jesus is the very imprint of God. It's like God put his fingerprint on Jesus. And everywhere that Jesus went and everything he touched, he left God prints. Jesus is the very imprint of God. Jesus is God's powerful word. Just as God brought things into existence, Jesus can tell the seas to be quiet, the storm to stop. He can tell the blind to see, and they do. The person who couldn't walk their entire life to get up and start walking, and they do. He can say to that dead friend of his, Lazarus, to get out of that tomb, rise again, and give him life. Jesus is God's powerful word to creation. It's in him that we find life. Jesus made the purification for our sins. As that song said that the worship team sang for us, How many kings would leave that throne in glory to take on the pain and suffering, to be killed and humiliated and hung on a cross and die for our sins? He who has done nothing ever against God's word, complete obedience, made purification for our sins. He is seated at the right hand of God. It's just a statement, a phrase to tell us that Jesus has all supremacy and is exalted now on high. Christmas morning is God's final word to all of creation. God has spoken once and for all through his Son Jesus. The question is, are we listening? In the midst of a very trying year, in the midst of all that's going on in your families, all that's going on in this world, we're trying to make sense of, God, what are you trying to say through all of this? I hope you don't miss it. I hope you don't feel as though you are walking around in complete darkness, because the light has come. I hope you don't walk around feeling empty and completely broken and thirsty, because Jesus says, come to me all who are thirsty and you'll find life. I hope that in the midst of all this, my prayer when all this began back in March was that people would begin to reprioritize what's most important in life. As we began to deal with a virus we'd never heard of, and all of a sudden, all of us became experts on epidemiology, and we're reading all this stuff we never would have read. If we had to read it in science class, we would have thrown it out and said, I'm not reading that junk, because we were not sure. We were scared. We were afraid. All that has happened in 2020, my prayer was that people would begin to reprioritize, would understand what is important. And so on Christmas morning, I hope you are listening. I hope you're hearing clearly from God. His final word to all of creation has come through his Son, Jesus Christ. And if you're missing that in your life, I encourage you to embrace him. Embrace this gift that God has given, that you might experience hope and peace and joy and love, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in this world. I hope you're listening to what God has to say, because he has spoken in these last days very, very clearly, and he has done it through his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful this evening that you have spoken once and for all in all of creation, that the brokenness that we see, we can know, will be restored. The pain and the suffering that we experience, the death that is all around us, we know will one day be eradicated, because of what Jesus Christ has done. Jesus came and said, the old order of things has passed away. See, I am making all things new. Lord God, I am so thankful we can experience that now in our lives. We don't have to celebrate Christmas tomorrow sad or broken. Even though maybe we feel that way, we can know that you have offered to us life, and life through your Son. Lord, I pray that we do not miss what you are saying to us. I pray that we make sure we have our priorities right in our lives of what's most important. And I pray tomorrow morning when we wake up on Christmas Day, we remember that Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God's, of your love and mercy, and that you will fulfill your promises. Jesus will come back again to this world. And in that promise, we can have hope. And so, Lord, I pray that tomorrow we might experience the hope, peace, joy, and love that Jesus offers. I pray it in his name. Amen.